Here we go, away we go. How about this Monday, December 23rd, 2019, Christmas Eve Eve. Now, can you believe that? I got up this morning and I turned on the computer and one of the Columbus stations, I'm not going to say which, but you could figure this out, is calling this day Christmas Eve Eve. No, it's not Christmas Eve Eve. Christmas Eve comes tomorrow, and that's as further or far as we go back in that. Now, I'm going to be joined this morning by some friends and colleagues, and we're just going to have a great discussion this morning with you on the toll-free line at 740-383-9944. But they were a little late getting here this morning, so I thought we'd kick off this morning doing something kind of Christmassy. Last week, I taped an interview with the original writer, now in his 90s, I believe 91 or 92, of the first sexy Christmas song, Santa Baby. The writer of this song is Phil Springer. This interview goes about 15 minutes. We're going to play this to get you in the Christmas spirit as we're kicking off Christmas week here. And at the end of this interview, there's a special performance you're not going to want to miss. Did you ever want to know about Santa Baby, the great song sung by the legendary Eartha Kitt, 1953? Well, now you're going to find out, because here is Phil Springer, the original writer of that song. Be back after this interview. Hey, Scott Spears along with you here, and we are on in the midst of the holiday season, to be sure, a few days away from the big Christmas holiday, and today we're going to celebrate a song and a person that has been around for 66 years this year. 1953, a song was released that we all know so well, Santa Baby, performed by Eartha Kitt. One of the writers of that song is kind enough to join us today to talk about the evolution of that song, what he thinks of that song, and we're even going to hear him play a little bit of that song on the piano. Then we're also going to learn of what he's up to today. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones the legendary Phil Springer. Phil, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Scott.
Phil, it's good to talk with you. Here we are in the midst of the Christmas season. What does Christmas mean to you each year?
It's just a season that I love because of the music. When I was in high school, I just adored the Christmas carols. Some of them are so beautiful. And that's why I'm especially pleased that something I wrote in some way joins all those beautiful songs, which are so much more beautiful than what I wrote. But the world seems to love what I wrote, so I'm pretty happy about the whole thing.
Tell us how this all came to be. Where did Santa Baby come from, and how did you become involved?
I was writing with a girl named Joan Javits, and we were a team. And Joan knew a publisher named Charlie Grion. These are names that were very big once, almost 75 years ago. But the way it happened was that Charlie called Joan. He was a music publisher, and asked her if she could write a song for Eartha Kitt about Christmas. And she said, yes, but I need to include my composer, Phil Springer. And that's how I became involved.
When you were tasked with writing this song, Santa Baby, which is kind of a little bit of a provocative Christmas tune, which had not really existed before then, how did you approach writing the song?
First of all, I was a little skeptical about whether we could write a sexy Christmas song, because nobody had ever done that before. And because Eartha Kitt was a sex symbol, it had to be that kind of a song. So, though I was skeptical, I knew that she had a short vocal range, that I knew how to write a melody that she could sing.
When you heard Eartha first perform it, what are your memories?
I heard it first on the radio. And frankly, I didn't expect that it would be a hit. So I was rather amazed that when I heard it on the radio, it was announced that it was a big Christmas hit for the year 1953.
66 years later, it's still one of the most popular Christmas songs. We still hear Eartha Kitt every holiday season. Other people have covered this song. How does that make you feel that it's here 66 years later and will probably be here 66 years from now?
Well, philosophically, the way it makes me feel is that I'm getting older and weaker, and Santa Baby is getting older and stronger. So, as I say, it's my philosophy that I wish that we could trade. That I could go on forever, like Santa Baby will, in exchange for Santa Baby dying out. Even though that would hurt my children, I'd rather live forever like that song will do.
I think you're right. Phil, I have a question for you, because a lot of people have come to me and said, what is that song about? They love the song, but what story is that telling from the man who helped write it? What is the song about?
It's very simple. You know, Joan Javits wrote this wonderful lyric, but I had to help her a little bit on lyric at the end. Somehow she couldn't get the last section of it. So I wrote the lines, Santa Baby forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. And that answers your question, Scott. What the story is a girl who wants to marry a guy who has been her boyfriend. And it's a very moral song. It's not about a girl who's just a gold seeker. She wants to marry the man. But nobody ever knew this. And so we were very criticized when the song came out on the radio, very severely criticized for writing a song about a gold digger and a man at Christmas time. She's not a gold digger. She's a girl who wants to marry the guy. And I'm not trying to denigrate my great partner, Joan Javits, but I did write those last lines about I need a ring.
Eartha Kitt was such a unique person. Is there anybody else who could have done that song the way she did it? Other people have covered it, but will hers always be the definitive version?
Absolutely. And there's nobody that could have recorded that song and made it a hit except Eartha Kitt in 1953.
You know, Phil, it's always been an irony to me that Eartha Kitt passed away on Christmas Day 2007.
Yes, I have felt that too, that it's ironic that she should pass away on the day that her most famous song celebrates.
When you look back, what is the legacy of this song?
What does that mean?
What do you want people to say about it when they hear it 100 years from now? Is it a fun song? Is it a sexy song? Did it change how Christmas songs were done?
I don't think so, Scott. Santa Baby is a song that has a magic to it, because I never understood why even kids of 6 years old that I met on a train could sing Slip a Sable Under the Tree. How could they even understand that? And yet, they love that line. And in Christmas ceremonies in high schools, grammar schools even, the kids sing the original lyric. And so in answer to your question, I really don't understand the magic that that song has. It's like, if you forgive me for making this comparison, Chopin regretted that he wrote the Fantasy Impromptu because the whole world loved it so much. He didn't understand why they loved it. And he wished he had never written it. That's what I have heard. The Fantasy Impromptu, for those that don't know it, is a song where the melody has been turned into the song, I Am Always Chasing Rainbows. And yet, even though that became a hit 100 years after Chopin's death, Chopin hated that thing. Well, I don't hate Santa Baby, of course, but I don't understand why it has the magic that it has.
Phil, when I started in radio, I have to tell you this story, because who would have ever thought we'd have this interview all these years later? When I started in radio, I was always in talk radio, but at Christmas time, they would allow us to play Christmas music, and I always had a few Christmas songs loaded up, so when I didn't have a guest at Christmas time, I would play a Christmas song. And I guess I did not realize that I was playing some of my favorites a little more than others. And on Christmas Eve, I got a Christmas card at the radio station I was working for at that time, and it said, "Scott, we love your show, but if you play Santa Baby one more time, I'm going to throw the radio out the window."
I love that.
I'd been playing it a little more often than I guess they had cared to hear it. But it's one of those songs, and it's on Muzak in stores. Phil, the last question about Santa Baby, because I want to talk about some other stuff you're involved with. When you heard it this year, 2019, for the first time, when the Christmas season got rolling, what's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Well, to tell you the truth, Scott, I don't listen to the radio and I don't watch TV. All I know is that everybody I know, whether it's professional or personal, starts telling me around the end of October that they keep hearing my song everywhere they go. That's all I know. I don't hear it because I don't listen to the radio anymore.
Well, we're going to have a little special thing at the end of this interview with Phil here at the piano with Santa Baby. We're going to save that for the end, but there's something else I want to talk to Phil about. Phil, you have a song here, How Little We Knew, Frank Sinatra. Tell us about this song and what you're working on now.
Okay, How Little We Know was retitled How Little It Matters, How Little We Know, because there was another song written by Herky Carmichael from a picture that he made called How Little We Know. So the ironic part of that story is that I told the only lie that I've ever told in my life in connection with that song. And here's the lie. Carolyn Lee, the lyric writer, was in a taxi cab with me on a Friday afternoon in, I think, December 55 or January 56, I'm not sure quite. And she said, "Phil, did you ever know a song called How Little We Know?" And I was about to blurt out, of course, everybody knows Herky Carmichael's How Little We Know. But something inside me said, "Don't tell Carolyn that you know about that title." And I didn't tell her. I said, "Carolyn, I never heard of it." And that night we wrote the song that Sinatra called one of his favorite songs in his album, Sinatra's Sinatra. About 3 months later, when everybody was talking about that song, Carol burst into my office and said, "You son of a bee." I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "You knew that Holy Carmichael wrote Hallelujah We Know, and you didn't tell me." And I said, "Carolyn, why are you angry at me? We've got a hit. I did it because I believe it was the right thing to do. Anyway, Scott, I've confessed the only lie I've ever told. And without that lie, we wouldn't have that song that so many people seem to love if they're older, over 50. I don't think the young people today know it.
It's a tremendous song.
That's why I hope you will play Sinatra's record.
I certainly will. We will make sure we get that in. Writing a song for Frank Sinatra, one of the greatest performers of all time, what is that like?
Well, I didn't write it for Sinatra. We just wrote the best song we could write about that title. Everybody turned it down. Mitch Miller turned it down. Every record company turned it down. There's only one source that didn't turn it down, and that was Mr. Sinatra. He loved the song when he heard it, and that's why he did. But we did not write it for him. But he sang it like we did write it for him.
Being a composer, Phil, a songwriter, in your opinion, do you have a best performer of all time? Is there somebody who just did it better than anybody else?
Well, if I had to pick a greatest performer of all time, I would immediately say Sinatra. But I'm not sure that's important that I feel that way.
Well, it's a tremendous song, and we will play it after this interview, How Little We Knew, and we'll also play Santa Baby this morning. But here's a little treat, because we always hear the Eartha Kitt version, and we've heard people cover Santa Baby, and it's that time of year. But I bet most people listening to this interview have not heard the original singer, or the original writer, Phil Springer, perform Santa Baby. So here is a special treat at Christmas time, only here on WWGH. Phil, Tickle the Ivories, Santa Baby.
Okay, I'll do my best. I don't play like I used to play, because I think most people know that I'm in my 90s. But I'll do my best to perform Santa Baby the way I did in August 1953, when I showed it to the publisher, Charlie Graham. Here we go. Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Being an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney.
Springer. What a treat that was. Phil, I cannot thank you enough for joining us in the holiday season. Don't forget to check out How Little We Knew, Frank Sinatra, written by Phil Springer. And, of course, you can't miss Santa Baby this time of year. Phil, thank you so much. You have a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Scott. God bless.
The legendary Phil Springer, the original performer of Santa Claus. Now, that was an exclusive here at WWGH Radio. Now joined in studio by Sean Kraft. You hadn't heard that interview yet. And Phil Springer, the original performer. Well, I said it again, performer. He's not the original performer, but he's the original writer of the song Santa Baby. And you got to hear him perform it there live on the air instead of the Eartha Kitt version. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's very unique. You know, and it's very unique of a guy hearing the original singer singing that song.
Well, cool. I think, you know, they wrote this. It was the first kind of sexy Santa song, first sexy Christmas song. But here it is all these years later, 1953, over 66 years ago, that song came out.
Wow. You know, being 90 years old, he still play the piano well, and that was really good.
Well, he said he thought when that song came out that it would not be a hit. And here it is more than a half century later, and it's still a hit.
Oh, yes. I hear it all the time on the radio. It's always playing.
What a great song, and we thank Phil Springer for coming on this morning and performing Santa Baby, a little live music here this morning on the WWGH. Did you hear this morning somebody said it's Christmas Eve Eve?
Yeah, I heard you say that. I didn't hear any on the
TV. That's ridiculous.
So, well, I guess it is kind of Christmas Eve Eve.
Well, yeah, but then we could say yesterday was Christmas Eve Eve Eve. I mean, you gotta draw the line somewhere with this stuff.
I don't. You know, I think it's reason why they, because a lot of people, they don't work on Christmas Eve, so they figured, well, you know, they leave early today, a lot of people at work, so they figured, well, might as well call it Christmas Eve Eve, because a lot of people start early today, and a lot of people do get together today before tomorrow. They celebrate Christmas.
Well, that's okay, but I don't think you have to name the day.
No, you know, but you know, we change everything. And
well, that's why this Christmas to me is just out of it.
You know, we went out Christmas light looking. Yeah, it's not too many people are decorated this year. I'm surprised.
Not many people have decorated. Here we are. I thought for sure the music would be out by now. It's not.
No, I've been to different restaurants, we've been to different stores. I have not heard any kind of. I mean, every so often you hear music, but not solid.
No, and stores have not decorated to a great degree. Or some stores haven't decorated at all.
Yeah. Wonder what it is. There has to be something. We heard a little story, right? Something about the...
Well, some people have complained. Yeah.
Complained about what, I guess? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, a lot of people... Because most stores decorate in the idea of Santa Claus and wreaths and trees and things like that. And a lot of people don't like that, because they believe the true meaning of Christmas is something else, so they don't want to see that.
Oh my God. When did we start being nitpicky? I mean, we've been doing this for years and years. I mean, since I was growing up, we had, you know, Christmas trees, Christmas lights. I don't know where the world's going to. I mean, it's going nuts. I know that, but you know, it's just it's sad. What we're going to. Too many people are so nitpicky.
What do people feel about this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And you know something? I don't understand the Happy Holidays versus the Merry Christmas. Because I worked in retail for a long time, and nobody ever told me to say Happy Holidays. I always said Happy Holidays because I wanted to include New Year's and Christmas, and I didn't want to say, well, Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. I would say Happy Holidays.
Right.
Plus, I don't know. You know, they might be Jewish. They might be celebrating a different holiday. There's so many of them out there. There's Hanukkah. There's the Yuletide, which most people don't know about. Why can't you say Happy Holidays?
Oh, no, that's what a lot of these places say now, you know, instead of saying Merry Christmas.
But what's wrong with Happy Holidays? I like Happy Holidays.
Nothing, I mean, but to me, I say Merry Christmas, whatever.
Well, that's good. I mean, if you want to say
Happy New Year.
I think that's fine, but I'm just saying, what is... People will snap back at you. Oh. If you say Happy Holidays, they go, Merry Christmas.
I think it's because if you call somebody like all these businesses now, like if you call like any like places, instead of saying Merry Christmas, people are tuned to say Happy Holidays. And like you just said, I think it's because a lot of people are a different culture or whatever, and people get offended by the smallest things now. And I don't know where the world's going to. People get offended by the smallest little tiny itsy bitsy little thing. It's like, come on, people. Let's just life is too short to get upset for the smallest stuff.
Well, we like to get upset for the smallest thing.
And you know, I mean, it's been going around for many, according back at our ancestors, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody has their own choice to do whatever they want, but, you know, let's give it up, you know.
Well, I don't think there's any going back.
No, it's just, you know, I don't know what it is. People get offended by the smallest thing for no reason, I think. And you know, we've been doing this for many years. Yes, everybody has their own right. But you know what? And I think what it is because people like to throw their opinion out there now more than they did back in the days. Because the social media's out there. So anybody can go on social media now and vent whatever they want to say. When we were growing up, we didn't really have computers back then. When we were growing up, we had probably the first computer when we was in school was a Mac, I believe. And then we finally got regular PCs later on. But
I remember the Apple IIc.
Yeah, so.
But I don't understand why, I don't know. People complain, and they can complain all day long, but I don't know. You know, we have all these Christmas songs. We have all this Christmas decoration. But I guess now you just have to keep it in your house.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is. I really, really don't. I don't know what's changing it, or I don't know. I mean, like I said, everybody has their own choice in life to do whatever they want. But to me, I love seeing Christmas lights, Christmas trees, Christmas songs. I mean,
But this year ain't getting it.
No, you're right. It's totally different. If you go out to, like I said, these restaurants, these stores, you don't hear any music anymore. No decorations, and it's, I'm sorry, but I think it's wrong.
Well, we ate the other night in an establishment that I don't think had, I don't remember seeing any decoration except like a little, I don't even know what you would call it. It wasn't garland. It was like a little bit of a tree on top of the lights.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
And we drove around town. There's not too many Christmas lights out there. That I saw. I don't know. I don't know, Scott. I think, like I said, the world is broken. I mean, it really is. We're a broken society, and I don't know how we're going to get it back on track. But you know, hopefully, in the future, we will. But more of the generations come, and you know, and the newer generations take it over. I don't know. I don't know where we're going to be going to. Probably pretty soon we won't have no Christmas. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if they'll erase the holiday, but it certainly is a little different atmosphere this year, and I think people are feeling it. But I do want to get back to this, and I only want to touch on this because Charlie and I had a big disagreement on Friday about poinsettia versus poinsettia, the plant.
Yeah, we saw one of those at the store the other day.
That is true, but I looked it up, and I guess both pronunciations are kind of correct, but it's a sign of your masculinity, how you say it.
Oh, really?
That's what a UCLA professor said.
Oh. Well, see, I'd rather say poinsettia. I think you say poinsettia, yeah, it is a more of a, like you said, like a, what's the word
I'm going to use? Female?
Yeah, like a, yeah.
But that's what
like a guy would say poinsettia.
Right.
Yeah, I want a poinsettia for my wife. You know what I mean? Not poinsettia. I mean, or if you're living like in London or something, that might be a London talk. You know what I mean? Like, because England always has like, they always have like a little, you know, slur. Or not, what's that word? Not really slur, but like a, they talk.
Well, they speak well.
Yeah, exactly.
They have good English.
Actually. So
it's that was from a UCLA professor. I looked that up. So I don't know why that is a masculine feminine thing, but apparently both pronunciations are okay, but it just is a sign of masculinity versus femininity.
Oh, well.
Go figure.
Yeah, whatever. To me, it's whatever you want to say.
Well, yeah.
If you want to say poinsettia, or if you want to say, what's the other, poinsettia?
I don't know. Or apparently, ponset.
A ponset? Yeah. Well, like Charlie said, so he ate that before, he said.
Well, some of it. But you can't eat those, because if you eat too, they're poisonous.
Huh. I've never really knew what a poinsettia looked like until you pointed one out in the store the other day.
You'd never seen those flowers around before?
No. And I see them at the Christmas parties and stuff like that because it's a Christmas flower, I guess, right? Okay. But yeah, I never knew what the name of them was.
I don't know how.
I'm not a flower person, so I don't know.
But I don't know why a flower with a Mexican derivation became the Christmas flower.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure how that happened.
I'm not sure how that happened either. And why would they pick a poison flower?
Well, most people don't eat their flowers. So it can be poison. I don't think it matters. You really shouldn't be eating the houseplants at home anyway. Do you think?
Is it a houseplant or is it grown out in the yard?
No, it's a houseplant.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we're in
a... It's homegrown?
Yeah, I checked this out the other day. We are in a zone that is not... this thing is always screwed up. It's an annual, not a perennial.
So what's the difference between them? I don't understand. One grows
an annual only an annual only comes up once a year.
Oh, okay.
And a perennial comes up every year.
Oh, okay. So that's why that one's called that, because that one, once it's dead, is dead.
Well, yeah, but I guess you can take care of them if you keep them watered and you keep them in the light. And then in the spring, you plant them outside. They will live.
You should do a gardening show.
Well, I know about poinsettias, or poinsettias, however you want to say it. But that's a Christmas flower. Now, they still allow those in the store.
You think they would be locked behind cage since they're poisonous. What if one little kid grabs a hold of a leaf and eat it?
Well, I'm sure there are other plants that are poisonous.
Yeah, maybe so.
They have a lot of chemicals on them now.
Now what's that yellow thing? We used to pop the heads off. Pop goes a weasel.
Dandelion?
Dandelions. You can eat those, right? You can put those in your
salad.
Well,
you can, but I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of people make dandelion wine. Apparently they have a sweet taste, but I've never eaten one.
But those come up every year. Oh my gosh.
Well, they do come up every year, especially in the spring, but I don't think people should be eating those either, because I don't know what chemicals they put on the lawn anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have my yard sprayed anymore.
That used to be a popular thing for a while.
Too much money to get that yard sprayed.
Well, but they always said the chemicals weren't dangerous, and I was never sure about that.
Well, they found out Roundup is.
We'll see. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, this morning I was going to talk about Christmas music. Now, what are some of the songs that are big for you at the holiday time?
You know, I remember the big, I remember, I was thinking about this. My neighbor, I don't think we had one, if I remember right. Remember the big brown, console thing that had like a record player in the top? You open up the top. I think we might have had one too when I was younger, I think, if I remember right. And they had the two speakers. You know what I'm talking about? And had the radio. Yeah, the tuner radio in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on that. The original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I used to love playing that song.
Rudolph.
Yeah.
It was a boombox, wasn't it?
Well, no. It was me. It was a brown radio. It stand from, you know, yay tall, and it was brown as heavy, and it had the record player on the top of it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, they were really solid, and the two big speakers. And I can't remember if we had one. I know my neighbor had one, because we used to go over there and play on his all the time. And I remember playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on that. When that used to come on every morning, oh, I used to love that song.
So that was a tradition.
Yes, it was a tradition. Yep, I love listening to that. It was a tradition every year. When he played that song.
Now, it just came on the radio, or he had the record?
Well, you didn't hear both, but then you tuned it to at the time back in the days, you tuned it to 90. What was it back in the days we used to listen to? It was WMRN. What was the original channel then? Was it 106.1 or something?
106.9.
Oh, 106.9. Yeah, tuned into that channel, and that was you. Yeah, that was pretty awesome when they used to play that song.
Well, music is a big part of Christmas, and a lot of people like certain things. Like a lot of people like Santa Baby, which we just played, 1953. Santa Baby, Please Come Home is a big one now with Darlene Love, 1963. The Christmas song, Mel Torme, 1945. The Hippo song also came out in 53, the same year that Santa Baby did. So there are a lot of songs like that that have stood the test of time.
You know, I noticed you talk about the other day, there was a lot of songs that came out in 1953. So the 1953 must have been a good year that people came up with titles.
Well, a lot of these songs are after World War II. Now, I don't know what they did before World War II, like Silver Bells, that's 1950, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, 1958. What Christmas Means to Me, 1967, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, 1979. So, I don't know, like I say, I'm not sure what happened before. During World War II, I guess they didn't have Christmas songs.
I don't know. If Madge Cooper was around here, she could tell us, but I'm not really sure.
Apparently, she said Ponset.
She said Ponset.
Apparently, she said Ponset.
Yeah.
Not Poinsettia. Not Poinsettia. Ponset.
You know, when I first met her, maybe she gave us a cookie, Spirally.
Springerly.
Springerly, yeah. I don't know why it's Spirally. Yeah, Springerly. That was a pretty unique cookie.
Well, it's an anise cookie.
Yeah. It's a little hard. A little bit.
Well, it's a hard cookie, but it's also made of anise. And it goes in, a lot goes into making those cookies.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. It had a good taste to it, I thought.
Well, I think they're great cookies. A lot of people love those, but I don't know if you can buy them in the store. Can you buy Springerly's in the store? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Can you buy Springerly's in the store? I don't know.
I don't know
either. A lot of people will answer questions like these because they're out there shopping. Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen a Springerly in the store.
I haven't either. I don't know if that's a special cookie store you got to go to or a bakery or...
Well, do you think that's a Christmas cookie? I don't know if it's necessarily... I thought it was a Christmas cookie, but I guess you could have Springerlys all year round. They're just very difficult to make, so I know a lot of people freeze them once they make them.
Yeah. I think ours was frozen when she gave us ours. I think she just took them out of the freezer that day.
No.
I don't know what it was.
They were ready to go.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she had them sitting on her table with a cup of tea ready to go.
No, I remember she went into her kitchen. She goes, "Here, try these."
No, she brought him in with
that's
a...
That's when we was going through her. We was in her... No, we wasn't in her sunroom at the time. We was in her living room.
Right. She went in and she got him out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And she brought him in on a tray with some lemonade. It was very nice.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Madge was a good server.
She was. Very good hostess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you didn't like her Springerlys?
No, I liked them. I mean, it's not my favorite cookie in the world, but, I mean... It wasn't bad, but I wouldn't say.
What were you hoping for, like a wreck of lamb?
I mean, you know, my favorite cookie overall is a no-bake cookie. I mean, that's my favorite cookie. And you make no-bake cookies out of Reese's Cups. Now I'm going to try that, by the way.
See, I don't like people cutting corners. Well, because I heard a recipe the other day where people...
corners.
Well, because you're not really making the cookie. You're taking a product that's already been manufactured and trying to create it.
What are you talking about?
Like a Reese's cup. You're taking a product that's already been manufactured by somebody else. That's already been cooked and put together from scratch.
Well, what makes the difference if you make chocolate chip cookies?
Because, see, this is the whole thing about pre-lit trees, too. You know, people put no effort and time in.
Well, no, I'm trying to follow your logic here, because if you take chocolate chip cookies, chocolate chips already been manufactured, but you put them in chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
So what makes the difference if you take cookie?
But it's not chocolate chip cookies. It's just chocolate chips, and chocolate chips can go in a lot of things.
So can't Reese's cups.
But I'm saying a Reese's cup to make... What were you saying you were going to make?
You instead of using
for a no bake cookie,
yeah, right? Or, but, I'm gonna let you know, instead of using oatmeal for the no bake cookie, you just use Reese cups, chopped up Reese cups.
And then you do what with them?
And you mix it up in the chocolate, and it holds it together just like the.
So you don't put any oatmeal in them?
You don't put any oatmeal. You just use chocolate. You just use Reese cup, chopped up Reese cup. Did you put
chopped up Reese cup and chocolate?
Yeah.
Well, then that's not a no-bake cookie.
It's still considered a no-bake cookie if you're not able to make it. Who says that? Well, it's online.
Well, I don't trust everything I read online. No, it's just like with the fudge. If you just take, somebody said if you take, what was it? It was a shortcut to the fudge, which is fine. But it, you know, people used to take time and effort and start from scratch with these things, and they don't anymore.
Well, that's because people, you know what it is, and I'll tell you what it is. We live in a busy life now. Our we live in a fast pace. We you know, not too many people have time to do anything anymore.
I don't know if that's true, because I see a lot of people spending a lot of time on their smartphone. I see a lot of people spending a lot of time on their computer. I see a lot of people spending the time that's watching true. Netflix.
Time management. That's true, yeah.
You just take one episode of Law and Order off Netflix, and you can put that tree up.
I know you made fun of my tree the other day. You don't like my little tiny 3-foot tree.
Well, I just think there's not a lot of effort put in by people anymore on the holidays, and that's one of the reasons also I think things are going by the wayside.
Possibility, yeah. I mean, I don't feel like decorating my outside. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Well, that's different.
I don't want to be a grid's wall, you know?
Well, see, but that's different to feel, you know, feeling. Maybe that's where the Christmas feeling has went. Is it just gone?
It's gone.
It's gone.
It went out the window.
And it will never come back.
I don't know if it ever, I mean, history does repeat itself. It might come back eventually. Maybe like 20 years from now. They might. I mean, just like anything else, just like, you know, now the record players are back again. You notice that? People are buying record players left and right off the shelf now. And now they're starting to manufacture the records again. So now they're back out in the stores again. Bell bottoms, you know, the people's pants. People are wearing those again.
I don't want to see anybody in bell bottoms.
But they are. They're bringing them back.
Now, who is?
I see them out there on the shelves now.
I don't think people are buying them.
I don't know. I think they are. I think these young kids are starting to wear them now again.
I think that would be a mistake to bring back bell bottoms.
Well, I mean, it's the style. I mean, like I said, it's you know, back in the 70s, you know, they were popular when my dad was growing up and everything. They used to wear them, but now they're bringing them all back again, just like everything else. Record players, like I said, you know.
I don't know what the point of bell bottoms was.
I don't know. Didn't Elvis Presley wear them?
Well, he might have, but I don't know if that's where it started.
I don't know where it started exactly, but probably started back in the 50s, I'm sure. Because I think I'm sure our ancestors used to wear them.
Like,
Grandma and Grandpa and...
No, I don't think that was the bell-bottom era.
Oh, was it?
No,
so it was our parents?
No.
It was our parents?
Yeah, I think it was just a short period in time, and I think it was a fad. So that's why I can't imagine people wearing bell-bottoms today.
I don't know.
You know what's popular now?
Yeah, if you Google this back up, they're making them again.
What's popular now are those things called leggings.
Leggings.
I don't even know what really.
What does that mean?
I don't really know. They're like they look like sweatpants, but they're very tight on people.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know whether. I just notice a lot of girls seem to be wearing these all the time.
Huh. Well, I know they have one piece suits.
What's a one piece suit?
It's like it doesn't have no. I mean, it's like one. It's one big piece you just put on. It's just like you have to, I guess if you have to go to the restroom, you got to take it completely off. I don't know. I saw those before. That would be a pain in the butt.
But you would wear this in public?
I think so. I think people have. I saw advertised on, I think, Google one time. I was Googling something, and, you know, like you can Google it and a whole bunch of crap pops up, you know. And I just saw this one piece.
Is that like a jumpsuit?
I think so, but it's just like it has no, you know how it has like the top and the bottom sewed together.
Well, don't you remember those pajamas that people used to wear that had the feet in them? And
oh yeah,
what happened to those?
I I think too many people, when they had to use the restroom, may have taken it completely off. This same thing with this thing. I don't know what, but I don't know if they're bringing that back or not, I guess.
So you're saying maybe people's bladders aren't what they used to be, and they don't have the time to pull those things off.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I guess what they could probably do is put something in the front and something in the back, like Velcro. I don't know. I could come up with that, I guess.
But see, the problem is, after they've been washed a few times, that Velcro will get a little loose, and then you're outside, and somebody's Velcro comes loose on the back end.
And you're out, there you go.
Then there's a whole other problem.
And then what's that word? You just got mooned, I guess.
And you don't want that at the holiday
time. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I always, you know, those remember the long shirts people used to wear? I don't even know if they called them shirts. But people would wear them to bed. Men wore them. They didn't have any pants with them. But you just put them over the top, and they would go down, like, past your knees.
I don't remember those.
I don't know what you called those. Does anybody remember those? No, it wasn't called a nightgown. Women wear a nightgown.
I know. That's what I said. I don't understand what you're talking about.
What were those things that men used to wear? You put them over top, and they look like a shirt, but they went down past your knees. But you only wore them at night. You only wore them to bed. Does anybody know what that is? What were those things called? Give me a call. 740-383-9944. 57 minutes past the hour on this Christmas Eve. What a dumb thing.
I've never had that before. So it's like a big night shirt you wear?
I don't know if they called it a big night shirt. I don't know what they called it.
I never had
it. But it was a pajamas is, I think, what it was called. But I don't know if it had a special name or not. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? People used to wear these all the time, and then they'd have slippers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never had those. I always wear pajamas.
Well, I think they called that pajamas.
Oh. I mean, I always had those pajama bottoms.
What about the tops?
I use a regular shirt.
Now, why don't you want to wear the pajama top?
Oh, I just never had it before. I never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, there's pajama tops that button up and all that.
Oh, no, I don't do that stuff.
And why is that?
I don't know. I get too hot. Sometimes I just wear a regular T-shirt. Sometimes I take it off if I get too hot.
Well, thank God you're alone.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine somebody finding you in the bed someday?
Dead
like
or
that?
Whatever?
Oh, well, I don't know about dead, but just finding you in general. That's not a very happy Christmas sentiment. You know, Larry King, we finally found out, had a stroke. That's why he was gone for so long.
Oh, poor guy. He recently just got a divorce.
Well, I don't think he's fully divorced yet.
He's not?
No.
And you said something about his kids was telling him why he...
Well, his kids got in on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I know.
I don't know, Larry King. Now, he's getting his head frozen, though, right?
I think his whole body.
Oh, his whole body's getting frozen.
But his body is breaking down. Ooh. I don't know if you want to unfreeze it. Stay tuned. It's Christmas Eve. Jeez. Here on the Now Show. We'll be back. And by the way, we will be live tomorrow Christmas Eve morning with a big Christmas Eve show you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. Oh, by the way, Mike Wilson coming up today. Oh, Adam Lepp coming up 10:10 till 11 a.m. And then Mike Wilson today 5:10 to 6 p.m. We'll be back in about 10 minutes after news and weather.
The stocks were all hung by the chimney with care, and hoping that St. Nick would soon be there. Hey, hey, y'all get ready now. You know what it's all about? It's all about Christmas and them presents. All y'all know about them. He spoke not a word, but went straight to work. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He spoke not a word and went straight to work and filled all the stocking, then turned with a jerk and laid his finger aside of his nose and gave a nod up the chimney he rode. He sprung on his sleigh and his team gave a whistle and away they all flew like a down of a whistle. But I heard him say as he drove out in sight, say, Happy Christmas to all of you and to all a good night. Merry, Merry Christmas. Thing go, but I can't stay focused enough to give you the whole